The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Back in the parish, whenever I offer a holy hour, I usually tell the people after the reading of a gospel passage or another type of reading, I usually tell them that I won't talk too long because that way you can spend more time talking with the Lord and listening to him instead of listening to me, because I think the Lord's a lot more interesting than I am. And so that's my intention tonight. And so I just want to offer a couple quick thoughts about two other mysteries of the Rosary, unrelated except for the fact that they're mysteries of the Rosary. And lest I fail to offer some words about the glorious mysteries, and actually in some ways the glorious mysteries are going to be slighted this retreat, and that it's actually in some ways they may be the most important of mysteries, because we see the culmination of the Paschal mystery take place within these mysteries, but nonetheless they don't get a full coverage because there's only so many conferences I can offer. But I'd like to share just a thought about the third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and Mary at Pentecost, especially in light of those who are involved with the Legion of Mary. The Second Vatican Council's decree on the apostolate of the laity says, "The laity derive the right and the duty to the apostolate from their union with Christ the head. Incorporated into Christ's mystical body through baptism and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit through confirmation, they are assigned to the apostolate by the Lord himself. They are consecrated for the royal priesthood and the holy people. Not only that they may offer spiritual sacrifices in everything they do, but also that they may witness to Christ throughout the world. The sacraments, however, especially the Most Holy Eucharist, communicate and nourish that charity which is the soul of the entire apostolate." And so those who are members of the Legion of Mary, both active and also auxiliary, should be keenly aware of this right and duty of the apostolate. That through your baptism, through your confirmation, through the reception of the Eucharist which is the soul of the entire apostolate, it gives us this opportunity to participate in this very beautiful and this very challenging sometimes a commission. And while the Legion of Mary's object or sort of goal or mode of operating includes a call to holiness for its members, this call is developed by my not only prayer, but also by, and this is to use the words of the handbook, by active cooperation under ecclesiastical guidance in Mary's and the church's work of crushing the head of a serpent and advancing the reign of Christ. And really this here is what we call the apostolate, crushing the head of the serpent and advancing the reign of Christ, the proclamation of the kingdom. The Council Fathers go on to say, the perfect example of this type of spiritual and apostolic life is the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of Apostles, who while leading the life common to all here on earth, one filled with family concerns and labors, was always intimately united with her Son and in an entirely unique way cooperated in the work of the Savior. Having now been assumed into heaven with her maternal charity, she cares for these brothers of her Son who are still on their earthly pilgrimage and remain involved in dangers and difficulties until they are led into the happy fatherland. All should devoutly venerate her and commend their life and apostolate to her maternal care. And of course, those who are members of the Legion of Mary do that, that we devoutly venerate her, especially through the rosary and the prayers of the Catena, and then commend their life and apostolate to her maternal care, that we are under the banner, under the shield of the Blessed Virgin Mary as we do her apostolic work. And so as you have the opportunity to pray the glorious mysteries tomorrow, maybe take some time to pray for your own work in the apostolate, especially for those who are active members going out and doing things that are described by the Second Vatican Council, the things that are your right and duty through your baptism, your confirmation, and through the Eucharist. A second, in the mystery that will conclude this conference, I find the opportunity to reflect upon the virtue of prudence, that the fifth joyful mystery is the finding of the Christ child in the temple by Mary and Joseph. And I think this is an opportunity to reflect upon the virtue of prudence as demonstrated in responsibility. I think twofold responsibility, a responsibility for Christ and the responsibility and imitation of Christ and of the Blessed Virgin Mary. First of all, responsibility for Christ. And I think this is found within the anxious search for Jesus by Mary and Joseph. That as they search for the lost child after 3 days, I can't imagine the anxiety that's filling their hearts as they look for him, the one who is the Messiah, the chosen one of God. Boy, what must have been passing through their minds, both of them who received the message of an angel talking about this great child of theirs. When Jesus is found after 3 days, Mary asks. It's almost heart wrenching to think about. But Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. And as we reflect upon this mystery of the Rosary, as we reflect upon these words of Mary, it gives us an opportunity to consider our responsibility for Christ. That we have within our own lives a call to care for Christ, to nurture Christ within our own lives. And so as we meditate upon this particular mystery tonight, maybe ask yourselves, do we demonstrate responsibility in our own search for Christ? Again, the words of the gospel passage that I began with, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Do we take up that responsibility that we have to seek Christ in whatever way that we can, to come to know him more and more, to know what he's done for us, to seek to have him to be an intimate part of our daily lives. And so, responsibility for Christ. Do we demonstrate responsibility in our own search for Christ? And then responsibility in imitation of Christ and Mary. And this is expressed in St. Luke's words, where he ends this passage of the finding of the child Jesus in the temple by saying, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And I have this passage here as a sort of a warm place in my heart, because actually it's engraved on the cup of my chalice, the first part of these words. And went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. That Jesus' responsibility is found in his submission to Mary and Joseph, at least at this time in his life. His responsibility, his living that virtue of prudence, is found in his submission to Mary and Joseph, even though he's God. And he created Mary and Joseph. He's willing to be obedient to his human parents as a means of responsibility. And in part, responsibility for his father's plan of salvation, which includes just the basic human responsibilities such as honor father and mother. And so as we think of Jesus' responsibility and our call to imitate it, maybe a question to ask ourselves tonight, do we carry out our basic human responsibilities, which oftentimes includes obedience to others? And again, I talked a little bit about that earlier today too. And then Mary's responsibility is found in her prudent keeping and reflection upon the mystery of Christ. Again, twice in the Gospel of Luke, it talks about how Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That Mary's responsibility is found in her prudent keeping and reflection upon the mystery that is Christ. Actually preparing herself for the actions her son will eventually do. The action of her son that will bring us salvation. By pondering and reflecting upon these things, keeping in her heart, in some ways it gets her ready for when she'll experience that almost seems like imprudent action of the cross. But nonetheless, we recognize that this is also Jesus' responsibility. In some ways, Mary's responsibility to give Jesus for this sake. And so maybe a final question to consider. Are we prudent enough to take time also to ponder the mystery of Christ? Especially in the rosary. Especially in the rosary. Again, the rosary is almost like a compendium of the gospel, moving from the first joyful mystery all the way to the fifth glorious mystery. And especially with the addition of the mysteries of light, we have a chance to really reflect upon every aspect, every nook and cranny, every kernel that's found in the scriptures. We can make them our own and make them part of our prayer. And so at this time, I invite you to enjoy the quiet of the holy hour. Again, I said I was going to not say too much, but here I am. I'm talking, and so I'm going to shut up right now and allow you to enjoy the quiet of the holy hour. And at about half past the hour, we'll pray the fifth joyful mystery, and then there'll be a little bit more time for quiet prayer for you to reflect, and before we conclude this holy hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the fifth joyful mystery is the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. And this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And again, along with considering virtues such as prudence or even the virtue of patience, the questions I asked earlier, or even the questions provided in the little booklet, would be well worth our consideration for these next few moments.